The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, أو you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
If you wanted to characterize like these people from Kufa, not everyone of course, there's a good number of the Shuhada of Karbala who are from Kufa, and they were, you know, people like Habib and Muslim and many others, right? They were staunch companions. They did the right thing at the right time. But on the whole, right, if you want to look at what was their characteristic, it was a characteristic of jahl, right? It's just lack of using the intellect when you're supposed to use it, right? Here, Imam alayhi salam is the person who is the walking and talking Quran, and here you are, you're fooled by this ruse. Okay, what's wrong with you? Here, Ammar ibn Yasir, radiallahu an, was the well-known companion of the Prophet, who the Prophet had told that people that the fi'atun baghiya, that group which is like the rebellious group, they're going to kill him, right? And so when Ammar ibn Yasir was on the side of Imam al-Islam against Muawiyah's army, people started to talk. They're like, hey, where's Ammar, right? We're confused on where the right is and wrong is, but I know that Ammar is on the side of Imam al-Islam, so we need to join Imam al-Islam. What did Muawiyah tell them? Muawiyah told them that, no, you know who's the fi'atun baghiya? Who's the rebellious party? It's the people who brought Ammar to fight in the battlefield. Right? Meaning it's Imam Ali Islam himself, because he brought him to fight. And some of these people who were thinking before that they need to join the army Imam Ali Islam, they were satisfied with that logic. Right? What kind of thinking is it? What kind of shallow thinking is this? Right? Sometimes we see Muslims, they're fooled by the same type of shallow thinking and logic. Oh, we got an invitation from the White House to have iftar. Right? They're going to break bread with us. They're going to give us free food. Right? They're going to take pictures. We're going to take a photo of pictures with the President of the United States. So we can forget about all the children that he's killed, and all the Muslims, and all the brothers and sisters whose homes he's destroyed, and all the blood on his hands, and those of his like buddies, and the G9, and the I don't know what, and all those things, and just say, okay, because he's giving us free food, we're going to join him. Mashallah, right? These type of things happen. You have some of the tyrants of the time, right? They leave this world. And instead of thanking God that this force of evil has left this earth, you see some Muslims saddened, right? They're like, you know, as if like they've lost a family member in some cases, right? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It's like, what kind of shallow thinking do you have? Why are you fooled by like things like social media posts and, you know, photo ops and like, oh, you know, they had such a wonderful personality, right? Such a sense of humor. Right? Okay, let's say that the tyrant has the best sense of humor. Right? They know how to joke. Okay, who cares? Right? They're a tyrant. A tyrant is a tyrant, what, no matter what clothes they wear. Right? It reminds me of that saying of Malcolm X, rahmatullahi alayh, that, you know, the oppressors will make you believe that they're friends, right? I mean, these type of things, you see that happening even today. People who have shallow thinking. It happened back then at that time as well, that these people of Kufa were so easily like taken by this logic. In the Battle of Siffin, okay, now it comes time. The Imam al-Islam realizes that these people are not going to accept anything else except for the arbitration, right? A truce. So now, who's going to perform that arbitration? From the side of the enemy and from Muawiyah's side is Amr ibn As. Amr ibn As is a seasoned politician, an eloquent spokesperson, and he's 100% devoted to the cause of Muawiyah. That's on one hand. Who is a match for him on the side of the Muslims? The only person, of course, save Imam Ali salam and Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, right? In terms of his companions, the one who was the best suited for this was Abdullah ibn Abbas. Somebody who had been trained by Imam Al-Islam himself. He was a student of Imam Al-Islam. He was a person of intellect. He wouldn't be fooled by ayat of the Quran. But what do Imam Ali's, his own people, what do they say? They say that no, we have to choose Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Why? Because he's from Yemen. And Yemen is from the south part of, you know, the Arab lands. And we can't have both Amr ibn As and, you know, like Abdullah ibn Abbas, who are both from the north, right? We've got to have somebody from the south. Okay, so you're pinning the whole future of Imam Ali's Khilafah and the whole future of the Ummah on some tribal type of like affiliations? Right? Is that, does that make sense to anybody? Of course, it's just silliness. When Musa, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari finds out that he was chosen to be the arbiter, what does he say? He says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Because he knows that he's no match for like Amr ibn As. He knows his own like, he's not a sharp person. He's not quick-witted. He's not able to like see, you know, like shades of gray and everything. Very black and white thinker. And he's the one who's chosen. And not only that, in the battle of Jamal and in the battle of Siffin, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari had abandoned the cause of Imam al-Islam. So he already had a history of not being loyal to Imam al-Islam. So you're matching up somebody who's loyal to Muawiyah against somebody who is dim-witted in comparison to Amr ibn As, and he's not even loyal to the cause of Imam al-Islam. How can that make sense to anyone? But these people were okay going along with it. Right? This is what you call treachery. This is what you call people who really are, they do all their actions on the basis of jahl. Right? They don't think about what is the, they don't have purpose. They're not people of principle. And that's why we see that Sayyidina Zainab al-Islam, right afterwards, what does she say? She says that, do you weep? Do you weep? May the tears not cease to flow, the lament not abate. Meaning what? Meaning that now you're crying. Okay, keep on crying. You don't have any reason to be happy because you deserve to be sad because of your own crimes. Now, just to point out here that these were people who just a moment ago were celebrating. Then with the movement of her hand, they are able to suddenly just be silent. And then after 2-3 sentences, now they're weeping. This is power. Right? This is somebody who has extraordinary power. Sometimes, you know, of course, we as Muslims and Shias at Ahlul Bayt, like we have great appreciation for Zainab al-Islam. But when you see some of the non-Muslim academics, when they discover the treasure of Sayyidah Zainab al-Islam, they can't stop praising her. Right? I'm looking at one book right now written by one of them. He's an academic, and it's just like you'd think that in some cases, like he might have more praise for her than sometimes people who are ignorant from the Shia tradition. Because they when they study what she did and how she did it and her words, they're like, this is not an ordinary person. Right? So then, what does she say? She says, truly, your likeness is similar. And then she quotes the verse from the Quran. Unto her who unravels the thread after she has made it strong, to thin filaments, making your oaths a deceit between you. Yeah, I'm moving towards an end, inshallah, so we'll be wrapping up soon here. So, what is she talking about? She's talking about a parable that many of you have heard before. You're familiar with this from the Quran. It's a parable of this lady who was famous, you know, in the time of the pre-Islamic period. It seemed like she was mentally like ill. She had her servants. What they would do in the first half of the day, they would take like wool, and they would wrap it together to make threads, because in order to like make clothes or whatnot, you need a thread. For the second half of the day, she would take that thread that she had woven together, and they would undo it. The same thread that they had done, they would undo it. And the next day they would go and they would do the same thing again. The Quran uses this parable to describe people who have this tendency of being, they're not people of principle. What do? They make oaths, they commit themselves to, and they pledge themselves to some cause, but within a short time, they renege. They go back on their oaths and they go back to square one. And then they go and they repledge and they go back again. Right? This is the example of the people of Kufa with Imam Ali Islam, with Imam Hassan Ali Islam, and now with Imam Hussein Ali Islam. Mom was saying they send like tens, more than 10,000 letters. And then for the most part, the same people abandon his messenger and he's walking the streets of Kufa alone.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen Ghafur Shakurun Wadud Qayyumun Rauf Saburun Majid. صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.